Welcome to season 4 of Swiss Impact with Benegis. I'm Sveta.
And I am Ben. The topic of season 4 is impactful businesses. Would you like to shift your capital to make positive impact and profit at the same time?
We will bring you amazing guests who are business owners, thought leaders, founders of impact investing funds, who will inspire you to invest with impact.
In this season, we will focus on high impact, high profit investment opportunities, which contribute to SDGs, better known as Sustainable Development Goals, as defined by United Nations.
We are hoping that when you watch this, you will shift your capital to serve all people and the environment.
We do not have time to wait for politicians and big banks to start acting on a big scale. Our aim is to establish an easy and quick match between impactful businesses and investors.
We will be broadcasting live every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central European Time here on Swiss Impact with Benegis.
Impact is best when you invest. Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone.
Welcome back to our season 4, episode 6. You are aware that this season we are focusing on supporting impactful businesses all around the world.
Indeed. And before we start, I just want to let you know that all the people from all around the world are watching us. But still, before we continue, a quick reminder to you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, not to miss any future exciting episodes.
Right.
That is youtube.com/Swiss Impact.
Very easy. And today we are going to travel to Finland. But before doing that, Ben, I'd like you to share a story, please.
Sure. We are a people of tradition. So today I will keep it very short, as I'm dying to meet our guest who is going to come today, because his company is beyond imagination. Especially in this extremely dangerous and apocalyptic time we are living in, I will share a couple of good news. To start with, it seems that many European countries have woken up to the fact of energy independence and want to get away as fast as possible from fossil fuel. In the coming years, we can expect even more rise of investments in the renewable energy sector.
Wow, that is indeed sounds like very positive news to hear, because all the disasters recently created in the world were for sure human created. So, and it's up to us to correct our path. But do you have like really positive news, Ben?
Sure. You know that people often complained that during COVID, all investment stops or went down. We told them that it's not valid for impact investment sector and quoted some numbers from last year in India.
So you mean the year 2021, when we noticed investment drop in nearly every sector, mainly because professional investors either couldn't sell their investment portfolios due to low valuation or had lost their money. Then please tell us some real numbers.
All right. So the Indian Impact Investment Council report of 2021 states that 294 Indian impact enterprises received $6.8 billion. As equity investment only in the year 2021.
That's pretty awesome. Are you aware of more trends in impact investment sector of last year?
Okay, because you insist. First, 2021 showed strong signs of recovery in the investment sector with 135% growth of investment volume compared to 2020. Second, majority of investments have been in the large ticket size. That means more than $100 million and in later stage of funding. And a significant part went to healthcare and financial inclusion. Thirdly, which is my favorite, climate tech, exactly, was most popular among early stage investors. So other sectors like agriculture, financial inclusion, and technology also showed strong comeback, with investment volumes doubling compared to 2020. Fourth, tech-based models, of course, since it's India, especially those digitizing of services, remained the unifying factor. And lastly, 62 women-founded enterprises raised more than $1.5 billion, keeping the ratio at 1:5 in the last 4 years among the men and women businessmen in India. Although low still, to my knowledge, it is still significantly higher than most of the developed world entrepreneurs.
Well, I'd like to thank you, Ben, for good news as an exception. And it's really good news. So I'm happy to hear that. But now I know you can't wait, and me also, to invite in our guest of today.
And of course, he comes from my favorite country up north, the beautiful Republic of Finland.
So with this, I'd like to welcome Mr. Petri Alava. Welcome here with us, to us. Hi, Petri.
So happy to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you? Yeah, it's great. It's a beautiful day here. It's sunny and the spring is coming. So we are getting out of darkness and the light is back. So it's just beautiful time of the year.
Yeah, we see the sun shining up on you. Great. Petri, I'd like to introduce you quickly to our viewers before we start. So Petri is the CEO and co-founder of Infinited Fiber Company. He's a business developer and strategist with over 15 years of CEO experience in B2B and B2C environments. He's also expert in waste management, who pioneered circular initiatives before the concept was actually widely understood. Petri also co-founded Infinited Fiber Company in 2016 to commercialize a technology that generates cellulose-rich waste streams, including discarded textiles. It used cardboard and wheat straw into Infina. We will know more about it. It is a premium quality textile fiber with a natural look and feel of cotton. Infina is biodegradable, contains no microplastics, and textiles made with it can be recycled in the same process. It's amazing. Why do you laugh? Don't interrupt me. Infinity Fiber is headquartered in Espoo in Finland. So we are looking forward to hear more about it, Petri.
So Petri, we would like to know how your journey from Fintra and LUT University brought you here.
Okay, it's a long road. I graduated in 1989 from the university, from the Technology University. And the first part of my life, first 15 years, I was in small cap companies, first as a business controller, learning the numbers. Then I thought, okay, maybe the numbers is not my game fully. So I moved to the sales side, started building business around the Europe and other parts of the world, then shifted to the leadership position. And learn to how to manage a small cap company. And I think that's been a very valuable part of kind of building, or say when I've been building a company from scratch. So knowing that how the small cap company works and what are the kind of different duties. Then I moved into mid cap company. It was a 10-year career being a corporate CEO in a global horticultural business. And just to understand the magnitude in the company's biomaterials, it was growing 7 billion tomato plants annually all over the world. So we were doing business in 70 countries. And that by that time, I also got inspired about circularity. So I also started getting into the kind of waste-based materials blended with the natural materials. But what I learned from that time that the world was not ready. So the kind of waste was regarded bad. So it had, let's say, bad reputation, and there was hesitation from the market side, no matter whether we were discussing about consumer markets or professional markets. And then I also was working as a chairman of the board for the waste management company. So I learned that what was happening on the waste side, that what it really means landfilling and how bad that behavior is. And I was part of the transition when Finland was adopting the EU rules, kind of banning the landfilling, and I saw that, okay, hey, there's real value with the waste. So kind of having that combined, let's say, the experience that it's not always easy to transform the business into circularity, as well as understanding that there's a real value with the waste, what we are generating, and how bad is it for the nature to the landfill or incinerate it. So that brought me to the new part of the career. So when I was terminating my contract as a corporate CEO, first time I learned about this technology, what we are now commercializing. So first part was that it was kind of convincing background as technology is working with the cellulosic material. And Finland has been known for years or decades being the leader in that space. So there's a lot of know-how in that space in Finland. Together with that, there was a very strong background. The development of the technology started already in 1982 by a company called Neste, which was developing the technology for 10 years. Then it was shifted to VTT. VTT is a 100% state of Finland or Republic of Finland owned applied technology research center, very strong in biomaterial space. And they conducted research for 20 years. So it was a very convincing, both commercial and scientific background of technology. And then my business partner, Ali Harlin, I get to know him. He was a research professor at VTT and a very, very, very nice personality. And what was kind of convincing with him that he was not only a scientist, but kind of a solution creator. So he's a troubleshooter and problem solver. So taking that back, so okay, there's a convincing technology. But then having the opportunity to discuss with the management of H&M's and Adidas's and Patagonia's, I thought, okay, hey, there was a really honest drive and enthusiasm to change the material behavior. So I kind of thought that, okay, combining my commercial skills and the very strong technology background and the enthusiasm of the apparel and textile brands, this could be becoming a business case. And here we are now then.
All right, that sounds like an amazing story, Petri. But could you please tell more about the company Infinity Fiber and Infina, and what is the difference? Because not everybody knows.
Yeah, so the Infinity Fiber Company is first of all a technology company, so fashion and textile technology company. And we do have a technology like you were well presenting, excellent presentations, Petra. It's a technology which can turn different waste streams, cellulose-rich waste streams like textile waste or cardboard waste, paper waste, or certain agricultural waste streams like, say, cotton, say the wheat straws or rice straws, into premium quality, brand new textile fiber, which looks and feels natural like cotton. So that's the kind of output, and that is something what we call Infina. So our part of the game.
Sorry to interrupt you. It feels like cotton, so it's not cotton, or is it cotton?
We can't imitate what the nature is doing. So cotton is this beautiful material, and we don't even try to state that we are making cotton. But what we make, it's really looking and feeling like cotton. It can be used in the same applications, high volume applications, like the shirt I'm wearing is made from Infina, the jeans I'm wearing is made from Infina. So as consumer, you don't make the difference. And that's very important part of our philosophy, as the output is even though it's recycled material, we call it, as a matter of fact, regenerated or reborn. So the consumer don't see any difference whether the fabrics or apparels are made from virgin cotton or Infina. So it really looks and feels the same, and it behaves also the same. And that makes it very easy for consumers and ordinary people to start buying circular materials, because you don't kind of make compromises in terms of quality or look or feel.
Okay. And what is your market, and what does the future opportunity look like for your product?
Yeah, so the market is just huge. So if you look at globally, the global textile fiber market is about 200 million tons. And our target market, our kind of target market is really being the alternative for cotton or some other cellulosic fibers like viscose or tensile. So that's the market. The target market value is over $80 billion per year. So we're talking about massive And if you look at kind of the what's interesting with the market is that as the global population is still growing, whether that's good or bad, that's another issue, but it's still growing. The average wealthiness is also growing. So there's an annual growth on textile fiber production and sourcing still today. It's about 2-3%. What makes this more interesting that there's also already a transition happening. If you, for example, look at, say, 9 years back, the growth on, for example, on the sustainable cotton fiber market has been per annum 28%. So there has been already very, very strong growth on so-called sustainable fiber markets. Now, when discussing with the brands, they do foresee that the growth will be even much, much stronger on these recycled materials. And there's a true lack of those materials. The existing technologies like traditional mechanical recycling, it's a beautiful technology. The problem with technology is that the quality of that fiber is not on par with the virgin material. So you start having peeling problems on the fabrics. So mm-hmm. the consumers see that it's not equal to what they've been used by. So that's why now bringing the new fiber to the market, which is on par with the new fibers or virgin fibers, really has a massive opportunity. And that we have been seeing by our brand customers as we've been since the very beginning. We've been working actively with H&M's and Adidas's, Patagonia's, and they have already very strongly committed. We've been signing multi-year sales agreements with them from our plant factory, and many of them have also already invested on the company.
Because you mentioned sustainable cotton, I thought about two points, I think, which you also have an advantage. One is that the issue with the cotton is that it may be coming from the wrong place. For example, you know, you have the Xinjiang province and all that. And secondly, is that in many countries, cotton is replacing the forestry. So people are destroying the forest or people are destroying different lands to produce cotton. And I think this is also something you are kind of compensating.
Impact, yeah. From your
yeah, exactly. Because we take into use something which is already in use. So we take in waste, textile waste, and the figures are relatively bad. So if you look at globally, only less than 0.5%, 0.5% of textile waste is being returned back to new textiles. So the recycling levels are, as a matter of fact, extremely low. I think the fact is that every second somewhere in the world, there's a truckload of textile waste being landfilled or incinerated. So there's a massive awareness, availability of such a material, which is a loss of the money. And also, let's say we are then using the land for growing cotton or harvesting wood in order to produce the fibers from wood. So it's a massive also biodiversity question, not only taking or reducing the waste.
Wow, that sounds like a huge impact and a lot of impact change following that. But Petri, let's dive a bit deeper into what exactly is your product. My question would be, are the fibers optimal for any kind of clothing? Because you mentioned jeans, so any kind of clothing could be produced with these fibers?
Seeing is believing sometimes. If you take up the slide, that describes something. So first of all, as the fiber is really cellulosic, it's a natural material, so and it really behaves very, very same way as cotton. So the kind of moisture behavior is the same like cotton, and it also feels really lovely on the skin. So the primary focus of the material is really being alternative for cotton. So everything which is kind of high volume applications, starting from our t-shirts, sweaters, jeans, to our dress shirts or dresses.
I like this green skirt, you know, it was pretty nice.
Yeah. So that's the primary thing. So, and okay, so we have to be facing the fact that globally, if you look at that, the mass market, the highest used or most commonly used fiber today is synthetic fibers, which are made from oil or petroleum. So our fiber is not equal to that. And there are naturally some limitations. So, for example, in the active wear. So, if you discussing about, would you be jogging typically in a cotton shirt? So you don't like it because the moisture behavior is different. So, but as discussed here, there's a massive opportunity also on being alternative to cotton. And that's well enough for that. That's the focus still on
us. And Petri, are those products already on the market, right? Only in Finland or in many countries already?
Yeah, so then we need to be remembering the scale. We've been running two pilot factories in Finland since 2018, but we only operate globally. So our customers are Adidas's and Inditex's and Uniqlo's and so forth. And that has been very important part of our journey. As we learned in the very beginning that we don't get through with the Finnish brands. They are very nice brands, small brands, and I need to cooperate, but the only way to get impact is to work directly with these giants, because they can influence their supply chain, and they can also get the material adapted.
This I completely agree, that you have to go to the big guys.
Exactly. And so far as our scale is on a pilot scale, so we can produce tons of fibers. And there has been a couple of collections launched. There was last year, H&M's Weekday brand was bringing up to the market a jeans collection, a denim collection. And then at the end of last year, there was a Wrangler bringing up a beautiful collection of denim wear, both trousers and jackets and so forth. And now there will be, in coming months, there will be very exciting new collections coming to the market. So it's kind of not commonly available everywhere. That's what we are now looking at. We're looking at and growing.
You should also contact one of our friends, the Brenninkmeijers, the CNA.
Yeah, we've been discussing with them for a long, long, long time already. Yes, absolutely.
Because they are also very strong in... in
sustainable
impact.
Cotton also.
Yeah, sustainable cotton. Yeah. So and we know that textile industry is one of the most pollutant industry worldwide. And how are you addressing that? Or is Infina part of the problem?
Hopefully we're part of the solution. That's absolutely our target. We've been actually evaluating very carefully that's what we're doing, and we can actually impact on our behavior and what we do. So, for example, now the factory what we are planning to build, that will be fully utilizing bioenergy and being very, very sustainable in that respect, and only using waste as an feedstock. Then from say the evaluations done on the product level, so what's naturally impactful is to see that what's the impact on the, for example, product level, t-shirt level. And if we compare a t-shirt made from Infina against a t-shirt made from virgin cotton, our CO2 emissions are 67% lower. We are using 99% less water. We are using 99% less land. And actually, we are not increasing the waste, but we are reducing the waste generation. So the solution is truly sustainable.
So if I understand you correctly, you're looking at the whole trajectory of the supply chain. So absolutely,
exactly,
because
yeah.
Textile logistics is one of the major pollutants in the textile industry. So you are also calculating that in your CO2 emission.
That is for sure. Absolutely. Yes. But then when you look at the kind of sustainability and the impact of the textile production, actually, most of the impacts are coming from the materials production, so from the fibers.
And asking about sustainable development goals, very concrete. So which SDGs is Infina addressing?
Yeah, so the one naturally is the SDC 12, which is the responsible production and consumption. We are providing massive inputs both to the value chain as also for the consumer. So really, let's say much lower CO2 emissions and much less water usage and so forth. Then actually also on life on land, as Ben has already well mentioned that we don't need any land to produce the fibers. So instead, what we would love that the land would be used for growing food for people instead of growing cotton, which can be also made from waste. Equally, we don't need to be harvesting any wood as we are taking waste as a feedstock. Then for sure, life underwater. In the introductory stage, you were already mentioning that the fiber is fully biodegradable. So we don't create the same problem what is typically released from the polyester clothing
fabrics. Microfiber. Yeah.
Exactly. And that, yeah. That's known to be much, much bigger problem when, for example, compared with the plastic bags or bottles floating on the seas. Then for sure, climate action. So the once we are particularly scaling the production, there will be clearly lower CO2 emissions. And then last but not least, also the SDG 17, which is the global partnership. Because say nobody, even though we have a technology, we have a platform, and we are the enabler of the change, but we can't transform the whole massive textile industry. So we need very strong partnerships, whether they are fiber producers or whether they are textile brands. So yes, there's a lot of our SDG goals we can provide.
Petri, from a consumer perspective and from skeptical ones, you know, who hear biodegradable and think, okay, maybe I wash this t-shirt twice and it will completely dissolve, right? So how would you say, is biodegradable an added value for the product for those who are skeptical about it? You know, because some clothes I bought myself, you wash them twice and they look, you wear them 10 years. It's awful quality, right? So what would you say here?
Yeah, so the biodegradability and the quality doesn't really go hand in hand. So typically the bad behavior or bad quality of the product relates more to the bad material. So if the, for example, the fiber length is very short, that is typically causing the pilling problem to the clothing. And there are also cotton qualities which are relatively cheap and bad quality. So it's really about that, what's the material. Our fiber and our products are on equal level to the good quality. So we have, say, the color fastness is excellent, and we haven't been seeing any deterioration of the quality at all. The biodegradability is equal to the cotton. So it's excellent that at the end of the day, if somebody would still landfill the products, that it doesn't shed into the waters, but it really biodegrades. So as such, they're two different issues.
Okay, sounds good. I'm convinced. And how do you treat or reuse the waste products of your process? Maybe you want to demonstrate it to us as well.
Okay, yes, I'm happy to take some samples. This is probably the best way to demonstrate the technology. So this is the starting material. This used to be old jeans, not mine, but somebody's. And the first part of the process is really kind of mechanically easily shredding the material apart, removing buttons, zippers. Very easy mechanical process. The next one is then when we are cleaning the material. So as you can see that we are removing the colors and we are also removing all the synthetic materials. So removing plastics, removing nylons from the original materials. And then in different stages, then we are breaking this material on the molecular level into liquid. So here we have purely liquid cellulose. And from liquid cellulose, we are now then regenerating the brand new fiber. So we are, as a matter of fact, just are returning back the pH of this liquid, and we get a brand new fiber more. And this is the in Finna. And the beauty here is that as it's really regenerated, the consumer doesn't see any difference. We can adjust the length of the fiber, and as that respect, it's beautiful for us, also for manufacturers.
Wow,
that was like amazing chemistry class, you know.
It's really playing with the chemistry.
Yeah, and this goes on and on and on. So you can
exactly.
Just...
So yeah. So then we can return back the Infina together with other textile waste back to the process, and it goes on. And that's where the company's name is coming from: Infinited Fiber.
Now I got it.
And how has the market been? How has the market accepted or reacted to your product? And can you show some stories or share some stories about this?
Yes, the market acceptance has been really great. So what the brand customers, the globally leading apparel brands, are really valuing high is that first of all, the fiber is really looking natural and feeling natural like cotton. Secondly, that it can be used in all of those high volume cotton applications, starting from t-shirts and sweaters and jeans and so forth. So it can be used in those. It's great for the manufacturers, and also it's also helping the brand customers to deliver the messages to their consumers who are really looking after the sustainability. So the one of the critical things in the change is that the consumers are now very actively demanding sustainable fashion. And then last but not least, if you look at the commitments, what say Adidas or H&M have been giving, their very strong targets on increasing the amount of recycled material. So we can definitely be the best one to provide the solution to those targets. And one thing is that many of our customers, whether it's H&M or Adidas or Zalando, they've already invested on us. And last but not least, they've been also signing really multi-million euro deals with us to supply the fiber to them from our future factory, which will be up and running in 2024 for several years. There is very, very strong commitment.
But the names you are giving, they are extremely big companies. So are you able to supply to all of them? I mean, Adidas is big, Zalando is extremely big. These are really big. So you can you have the scalability potential to supply to them.
Yeah, so the factory what we are now planning would be producing 30,000 tons, which equals to 100 million t-shirts. But as such, it's really a drop in the ocean. So the demand is much higher than what we are able now to serve. But they're happy as if you look at the markets, there are some competition, there are some other alternatives, but everybody's is having a bit different kind of fiber coming out from the process. So as a matter of fact, we don't see any competition. All the kind of technology companies are kind of friends to us, and they are serving to the same big purpose. Yep. So there's a massive need still existing, and they are happy with the start, but they are pushing us very strongly to start licensing the technology. As that's very important part of the growth strategy. We don't want to be the bottleneck of getting the growth and getting the material to the markets.
Exactly, I heard, to a surprise, that you have Maisie Williams involved in your project.
For those who don't know Maisie Williams, she's an English actress who played the lead character in the Game of Thrones.
So did your company supply all the dresses for Game of Thrones?
Unfortunately not. No, that was my favorite series, and I was really proud to get the Maisie Williams on board. We did get access to her, so it was really H&M's network who got the connection. She's a really great advocate for sustainable fashion, and she's a kind of a fashionista and wants to be promoting the sustainability in fashion. She co-designed the dress, and that was kind of first time ever we were able to produce denim made 100% from Infina, and it was great to cooperate with her, and she really co-designed that dress. She has, as a matter of fact, also have a partner called Ruben Selby, who's a designer, fashion designer, and we also partnered with him. So with his debut collection in Paris Fashion Week was 2 years ago, was also showcasing many other collections or many other masterpieces made from Infina.
But then it sounds, because I understood you are producing the raw material for the big companies like HMS and Adidas, but in this case it seems like you are also producing your own dresses or your own design or in your own fashion.
Yeah, so from time to time it's been a fun to make something surprising, as naturally sometimes getting through the value chain or supply chain of H&M, it's taking ages, even though they're beautiful customers and beautiful to work with, but there's some friction to get through fast. So sometimes it's beautiful to make something with Ruben Selby, like a designer who can really act very fast, or Maisie Williams. So from time to time, we've been also manufacturing fabrics made from Infina. I have been testing those in different applications, but 99% of the time, to be honest, we've been just focusing on working with the brands, as they have certain standards, they have quality standards. So naturally, it's very important feedback for us to see that the whatever is made is fully fulfilling the quality criteria, the look and feel of the product, as well as also getting the feedback from their manufacturers, yarn spinners or fabrics producers, so that the behavior also in the production is excellent. So that's been very, very important part of the scaling.
Okay. Petri, I have a question about our neighbor country, Italy, and Milano, the fashion city. Were you in touch with some of the Italians already? And what is the feedback from the high fashion?
Yes, so the high fashion, say there is this, unfortunately I don't have it here, but we have made the shirts with one of the high-end Italian brands, wonderful, exciting cooperation. So there's excitement also at that side. Maybe the consumers are a bit different. So typically if you have money to buy, say, a dress worth 20,000 euros, your selection criteria is not the first that it's made from. But there is an excitement also existing. And then second, we've been also working together with the Italian manufacturers, as the Italy is really having really excellent textile companies and have a lot of know-how. So it's been also exciting to work with them.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's amazing. Another question. You currently are focusing on cotton. Are you also considering providing solutions for other natural fibers in the future, or maybe in the near future?
Yeah, so if you look at the kind of other natural fibers, whether it's linen type of fiber or whether it's hemp type of fiber, they all are performing differently. So they have different characteristics. They are maybe harder or some other. And as our fiber is equal to it, it has the on par qualities to cotton. So that's naturally the very logical market. And as already discussed, that the target market being alternative to cotton, it's a huge market. So that's well enough for us. And we would be happy that if we can serve a big part of the cotton market.
Okay. And looking ahead or looking forward, are you planning to grow and scale up, especially your impact and your production capacity? And if yes, then how?
Yeah, exactly, Ben. So If Infina would be a marginal fiber, a kind of low volume fiber, we don't get the impact. So naturally we are pushing very strongly for the growth. There's two ways to grow. One is that now we are in the process of building the first commercial scale factory. It's a very large investment in Finland, but that's just a kind of first part of the growth strategy. That brings the fiber to the market on commercial scale as early as possible, and we get the much, much stronger buy-in within the brands, as they have different collections from starting from baby clothing up to the men's shirts or women dresses. So we need to be getting the buy-in in all of their collections and in different categories. So that's part of that, serving that and getting the proof that the fibers is also being highly appreciated by the consumers. But then the second part is that as already mentioned, the brands are pushing us now very heavily on getting to the technology licensing and particularly getting to building the high volume production in Asian markets. Asia is the main textile hub still, and it will be remaining that. So that's the next phase in the growth strategy, really. And our role in that is licensing the technology. And we've been building already very strong partnerships with the equipment suppliers. So we have the kind of existing way to serve the licensed customers. And then as we have so strongly partnered with the brands, so they're also willing to promote our technology to their producers. And also they're willing to sign the long-term offtake agreements with the manufacturers.
Mm-hmm. Petri, and is your technology patent or you are willing to franchise it to other countries? So maybe this type of scale, did you consider that?
Yes, and actually patenting is very, very important part of the licensing business. So we have actually different process patents. We've been also patenting different products. So for example, we have patented the molecule. We have patented the fiber. As a matter of fact, we can even detect from the fabrics whether there's a material made from our technology, because there are certain characteristics what we can recognize. So that's very important part. Then there's naturally also know-how. And the third part of getting some protection is that as the high volume or highly interesting and recognized brands have already invested on us. So they are our shareholders. So that's also giving us some better balance on the market. So as we are a small growth company, and we need to be getting some kind of power balance. So naturally the shareholders are giving them excellent protection on the markets.
Do you plan IPO in some years?
Maybe this is the as we now we are really looking seriously looking at that, raising the funding. The factory funding need in total is 430 million euros. So and about half of that funding need is equity. Half is then lending money or public funding. So IPO is one alternative for raising the equity needed.
Yep.
But we're also actively looking at that private placement alternative. As a plan B.
And looking at your clients, which of the criteria you apply to their clients? Because you mentioned you have like Zalando and all these big, are there sustainability or human right performance? You are also taking into account that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when we discuss about sustainability, naturally, first part is that we need to be taking care of our actions. So for example, in our plant factory, we are only using bioenergy as in production. The employment laws are very strict in Finland, and we have kind of excellent way of treating people in Finland. So I think that's been well covered. Then when we look at the selecting the brands, of course we need to be selective in many ways. One thing is that we wanted to first look at that high volume brands, because we do appreciate and we do like the companies, customers who are strongly looking at the future and are strongly committed to make a change in this industry, to really make an impact. So that was the first selection criteria, looking at the companies who can really make the change and who do have the volumes of making the change in the industry. Then, okay, many of those brands we're working with, they are those fast fashion brands, and we understand their reputation is not always that good, and maybe rightfully also. But what is more important for us...
I think about Zalando something, but it's not... I don't believe that they are so sustainable yet, but Zalando, if you hear us, please consider to be more sustainable and talk with Petri or us on this topic.
No, we are working already with them. They are, as a matter of fact, one of our shareholders. So what we really love is that they take it seriously. So we can honestly see that these companies we're working with, they are pushing hard. They are looking at all the ways to make the change, and they are fully committed. So naturally, we don't want to be working with the companies who are greenwashing. That's not our idea, but we've been selective and finding the partners and customers who are really serious with this.
Yeah.
Pretty fair. So you plan to expand your market, and what is the customer segment you are targeting next?
Yeah, so we do have two businesses to serve. One is the fashion, what we've been discussing 99% of this time, and that's the industry what we see moving fastest. So there's still a lot to be harvested from there. The other segment, what we can serve always is the non-woven industry, kind of diapers or wet wipes and that sort of products. And there has been also very, very, let's say, a lot of interest raised, but we do see that's probably moving a bit slower. It's very price sensitive industry, probably the pressure hasn't been equal as what we've been feeling from the fashion side. So fashion will be our focus. Technology would be also enabling to provide solution to the plastic films or sausage skins and so forth. But we do stick to the fashion as we do see that there's so much growth opportunities and business opportunities that's well enough for us.
Sector where sanitary napkins for women and diapers would not be a topic, you think, in the next years?
Yeah, we've been actually producing already. We've been producing those products. So yeah, it performed beautifully in those. But it's just that the markets are not yet that ready as the fashion side is.
Right. And because we had a pleasure to talk with some Indian project, which produce sanitary napkins for women, also biodegradable, and they are very strong in women empowerment, you know. So I was thinking, why not you also getting strong into that?
Yeah, because it's a very big market, especially if you look at Asia and Africa. It's a huge market.
We will appreciate that. That is very true. So that's we've been testing already for years and years ago, and we've been trying to make a lot of inroads to that industry. But as mentioned, for some reason they haven't been that kind of eager. Maybe it's just that the industry is so price driven, cost driven that they're afraid of the new materials.
Yeah, that I was going to say, because the people, especially in Africa or something, people are extremely cost sensitive. And are you more expensive, or are you in the same level as a normal products there?
Yeah, there's definitely a price premium today, but it's kind of for acceptable price premium. As already mentioned, that we've been signing multi-million euro deals with the brand, so they can well adapt. And if you, for example, look at t-shirt, so at the t-shirt level, 20 euro t-shirt, the price premium what we have now on the fiber means to the consumer a 80 euro cent price difference. And most of that is VATs and that sort of thing. So as a matter of fact, the price difference is not really huge, and it's well acceptable to the consumers.
Yeah, okay. That's correct. Petri, we'd like to move. How can we help you and our audience most of all? And what are you seeking? What's your company seeking right now? How can our community support you?
Yeah, I understand that many of you who are listening to this show, wonderful show, are investors. So as I already mentioned, that now we are raising funding for the 430 million euro investment made in Finland. It's a large factory representing 100 million euro business. And for that we are looking at that funding that's by 50% equity, so about 200 plus million euro equity, and 200 plus million euro lending or debt financing, slash also public funding. So if there's anybody who's kind of interested in joining the ride and making the impact on the world, so we do have customers, we have technology which is ready for scaling, and now the next part of the growth strategies is getting that factory up and running, accelerating the licensing business, and getting the impact down.
Exactly.
I'm sure some one or the other will respond to that call to action.
Yeah, I already was thinking of quite a lot of them who would be. And can you share some best lessons learned in running this amazing, amazing infinite fiber?
Yeah, I think the first one is that don't be afraid, as the most of the things we've been doing is something we're doing for the first time. So it's been really kind of wonderful road coming from a company run by one person. Now we have 44 people. There's 100 engineers working for us already, kind of outsourced. So every day is learning something new. And it feels like that we've been also well managed to get on board people who are not afraid of challenges. They love the challenges. They love kind of finding solutions to those. And even we're learning that even the giant customers, whether it's H&M or Adidas, you can manage well those. They are wonderful people, and you need to be patient. But when you are kind of providing solutions, they will join.
That's what I was thinking, because you know that I come very often to Finland, and I know Finland, that it's such a tiny country. But you come with so strong practical experience or products or knowledge, technologies, especially in our sector, in the sector of impact investment and in sustainable investment. It's really amazing.
Yeah, Finland is today also, our background is naturally on big corporates, on pulp and paper business and so forth. But Finland has become a very, very strong on the technologies. It's a very active startup community. And we Finns have also learned to sell. kind of traditionally we Finns were known very shy, extremely high tolerance for silence. we've been improving, we appreciate that we need to be kind of appreciating our roots, how we are as people. We are still shy and introvert, but you can be an introvert engineer and still sell well.
Yeah, and I can personally guarantee you have one of the best, or maybe the best alcohol in the world.
What is that?
Koskan Korva.
Ah, okay. Yes, it's an exciting white wine, as we call it.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, the time is running, and Petri, I wanted to ask you to share a call to action message for our global audience as a tradition. What would you say?
I say, join the ride. We have the beautiful technology to make the impact and transform the global fashion industry to sustainability, sustainable track and circularity. We'd love to work together with you.
Short but amazing. Thank you for joining us today, Petri, for this conversation, for the chemistry, entertainment. I'm really looking forward to test your products and find them somewhere on the market myself.
Maybe there's something coming out next week. We'll see.
Oh, perfect.
That's great. So we are
thank you so much.
Keep in touch.
It was really a great pleasure talking with you.
Bye-bye.
Thank
all
you.
Right, bye-bye.
Oh, something else. If you are not yet a member of Chamomile community, as our guest, we want to give you a little present. So join, register, and we will upgrade your Chamomile membership.
It's a community of investors and impactful investors and impactful businesses.
Happy
and
to join.
The largest in Europe. So.
Very happy to join.
Yeah, bye for now.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, dear viewers, with this, the episode 6 ends today. And we will be back coming Friday with another amazing show. Please do not forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel on youtube.com/Swiss Impact. And then you will be always kept updated with the newest information. Going forward with our vision to support all impactful businesses around the world. On 24th of March, we are organizing a free half-day summit on successful fundraising for impactful entrepreneurs. So it's for everyone who wants to learn about what is impactful business, what are the resources available, and how to get it funded. You are most welcome to attend. And of course, you find all the information on Chamomile or on our newsletter. Subscribe.
Yeah. And we invite all impactful businesses who are seeking investment or support. Please welcome to our TV show so that you can be also supported with any resource you're looking for.
You got more when you give back. So always invest
with impact.
Thank you and bye for now.
Bye. Hey, we hope you enjoyed this episode of TV show Swiss Impact with Banerjees.
Make sure you check out the next one and also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Spotify, podcasts, and any of your favorite social media places.
And please subscribe to our channel so you know when we release new episodes.
And also leave us some feedback to help us grow this awesome impact community.
We look forward to sharing the next episode with you. And until then,
impact is best when you invest.